You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Now that was more like it. Welcome back, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on your Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official flagship. As we chat on this Monday evening, the Rockets just polished off a 116-107 win in Chicago against the Bulls. That's the third win in five games for the Rockets, who improved to 28-11 on the season. They seem to have at least steadied themselves since that five-game losing streak. For the Bulls, they fall to 14-27. It was a game that the Rockets certainly were the better team, and largely they showed it. Now, I know the final margin was just 9 points, but folks, the Rockets were up 19 with under 2 minutes to go. The Bulls went on a completely inconsequential 10-0 run in garbage time to make this final score seem a little closer than it actually was. When it mattered, this was a get-right night for the Rockets, who 2 days after a very deflating showing in Detroit finished off this abbreviated two-game road trip in style. And again, you don't want to say they're hot, but winning for a third time in five games, they at least seem to have stabilized after that five-game losing streak, now have won twice in four games. One of the only two losses was to the Warriors without James Harden. And there's a lot of storylines you can look to in this. I mean, I would start with saying that the Rockets controlled the game. Other than Orlando, that's something that really, over the past month, the Rockets have not done nearly enough of, and their inability to win games by a big margin has taken a toll on a lot of levels, including, I think, some of the poor shooting numbers and the tired legs you've seen from time to time. But in our 3 points recap, I'm going to start with the veteran guards, because when you look to this game, there are three guys that stand out: Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, Gerald Green. Chris Paul, 24 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, almost a triple-double. Eric Gordon practically matched him, 24 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. By the way, Chris was 8 of 17, Eric was 8 of 18. So when you have two guards of that size that are shooting over 45% from the field and averaging 24 points and 9 assists, that's phenomenal efficiency. And then, of course, Gerald Green coming off the bench doing what he does. 22 points in his 26 minutes. The Rockets were a plus 18 in the 26 minutes that Gerald played. 8 of 15 from the field. He was 4 of 9 from 3, but actually it was more impressive than with Gerald. You could see that teams were adjusting more on him. They were closing out harder on the threes. Gerald actually took the ball to the rim hard a couple of times and had two fantastic poster dunks. If you want to search, just type in Gerald Green on Twitter and you'll find them very easily. I thought that was a nice adjustment, seeing Gerald adjust to the way teams are going to start closing out on him extra hard with how well he shot the ball in Houston. And, you know, the first couple of games, you could see that after not playing the first couple of months of the year, his legs weren't all the way there. Well, now, in addition to his shot, Gerald is getting his legs underneath him. And so even if Gerald maybe falls off a little bit back to earth with his three-point shot, he was only 44.4% tonight from behind the arc. Well, he's athletic enough to still be a factor off the dribble and attacking the rim as well, especially in that second unit role, largely going against the team's bench players for large stretches of the game. But I'm going to start with talking about Chris Paul, because that, to me, if you listen to our post-game show on Saturday, I think it was important for Chris to come out and set the tone as a scorer, as the Rockets' alpha in the absence of James Harden. Because Chris on Saturday shot just 6 times in the game's first 44 minutes. He ended up with a respectable stat line, 16 points, 13 assists, 7 rebounds. But a lot of those points came in the final 4 minutes after the Rockets were down 16 and the game was already over. This time, Chris came out as more of a scorer from the outset. Yes, he did shoot 11 threes, but you did see him more aggressive, especially when the game was on the line. He was taking and making the mid-range shots, the floaters, a little bit more than he had been. He seemed more comfortable. Also, he actually got to the line a few times, made all 5 of his free throws, and you guys know that rip move he has that he is so adept at using, especially when the other team is over the limit. He knows, of course, that the officials aren't going to give him the shooting foul because of the new rules, but if the other team's over the limit, well, he's still going to get the free throws, and he used that a couple of times tonight as well. And in general, with Chris Paul, and I'll say the same goes for Eric Gordon, who again also had the 24-9 stat line, they're each going to need to do things, they're each going to need to shore up their weaknesses, so to speak. And when I say weaknesses, that's relative because both of those guys are fabulous players. But with Chris Paul, when James Harden is healthy, he doesn't really have to be the scorer that often. Now, there are times he is, especially early in the second and early in the fourth quarters with that second unit. But by and large, Chris gets to focus on facilitating because James is the number one option. Well, with Chris, he needs to be more of a scorer because the Rockets need an attacker. They need that alpha. The flip side, Eric Gordon, when you have him as your starting shooting guard in place of James Harden, you may need to have Eric be more of a facilitator because teams are going to come out and try to take away what you do best. With Eric, that's his shooting. With Chris, that's his facilitating. And if you don't have James Harden to draw attention, then it's all that much easier for defenses to key in on what you do best. So for both of those guys, you need to be able to adjust to their adjustments, and that's what I thought they did a fabulous job of tonight. I don't think Chris did it as well in Detroit, but tonight you could see Chris made the adjustment to be more of an attacker. Again, 17 field goal attempts in his 36 minutes. With Eric, boy, it's just a fantastic stretch for him. A season-best 9 assists. In the 14 games that Eric Gordon played before James Harden went out, he was averaging 1 assist per game. 1! In the last 4 since James Harden was injured, he's had 6, 7, 7, and 9. That's just a leaps and bounds increase in production, literally by more than 7 times on the average, almost 8 times. That's just an incredible increase. And of course, you know, what I've said all along, it's with Eric, it's about role. It's not that he can't pass. It's about what the general role is. Is he number 3 or number 2? And of course, sometimes with Chris Paul on the floor, Eric is almost your pseudo number 1. And it's not so much that Chris is a better scorer than Eric. As I said, I think it's more that each has to take what the defense is giving them. So you're seeing defenses dare Chris to be more of a scorer. You're seeing them dare Eric to be more of a passer. And both of those guys are proving adept at making the adjustment. Now, certainly it helps that Eric still made his shots, 8 of 18 from the field, 4 of 12 from 3. Actually, he was pretty pedestrian, making just a third of his threes, which shows you he was 4 of 6 from inside the arc. So to continue that trend, he's been nice off the dribble and finishing in traffic. But more than that, I would say both of those guys deserve a lot of credit for adjusting to the adjustments and doing the secondary part of their offensive game very well. Now, I think generally over the balance of these 4 games without James Harden, both have done that. I thought Saturday was probably a slight regression, especially for Chris, partly because it's the 3rd game in 4 nights. And I would say for Chris in particular, the 3rd game in 4 nights might be sensitive for him because at 32 years old and coming off that groin injury, we almost forget about Chris coming off the groin injury. He played 36 minutes tonight because as soon as Chris came back, James went out, and then you have to rely on Chris, even more in James's absence. And so we didn't even think about it. But yeah, he didn't play for a week and a half, and he's coming off an injury that's notoriously easy to re-aggravate. So yes, it's very challenging for him to get back in the flow, and maybe Saturday in Detroit, there were some tired legs for him in particular on night 3 of a 4-game stretch, or a 4-night stretch, I should say. But Monday, he looked a lot more fresh. All 3 of those guys did. I thought Chris and Eric, they improved their deficiencies, and really, you could say that trend extended for Gerald Green as well, because as I said, even though he was 4 of 9 from behind the arc, that's a great sign. Well, he also took 6 shots inside the arc. It wasn't like the Golden State game where he took 16 shots, but 15 were behind the arc. No, the Bulls chased him off the line, and Gerald proved adept at making plays off the dribble and even had the 2 flying dunks. So I think all 3 of those guys, they shored up their deficiencies, which is what the Rockets are going to have to do in the absence of James Harden, because those guys are going to be more of the focal point. That's great to see. But more than that, I think all of them as veteran players, they made it clear from the outset that, hey, even when the Bulls made a run, again, the Rockets, you know, they put their footprint on the game early, went out and grabbed a 34-13 lead. Then the Bulls, they went smaller a lot. They actually got a 66-63 lead midway through the third quarter. And then it just felt like the Rockets absolutely put the hammer down and just kicked it into another gear that the Rockets, or that the Bulls, could not match. And I think the veterans are always going to be your keys when it comes to kind of setting the tone. And I think there were 2 key points in doing that, which is starting off the game. You're always going to get off to a great start. The Rockets did that and then some. And then even if the team responds, which credit to the Bulls, they played relatively well. Even though they're a 14-27 team, their effort has not waned. They've actually had a lot of pretty big wins the past couple of weeks. They responded, but kudos to the Rockets, and it starts with their veterans making it clear that no, this was not going to happen. And in the fourth quarter, not that it was ever really in doubt, but Trevor Ariza even had a stretch. Trevor ended up with 18 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Trevor had 3 threes in a row, the 3rd of them banked in, where it just seemed like all those veterans, the Rockets said, nope, they're not losing this game. The intensity was there throughout. The defense, I don't want to say it was great, but it was better. In the first and third quarters, the Bulls scored just 22 and 21 points. I don't really consider the third quarter, or the fourth quarter, excuse me, when the Bulls scored 31, because 10 points came in the last 2 minutes. Game was long over at that point. Bulls did score 33 in the second quarter. That got them back in the game. But outside of a brief run against the Rockets' secondary unit and then early in the third, the Rockets' defense, the effort was consistently better than it was in Detroit. That's progress. And then, of course, offensively, folks, it was a very efficient game for the Rockets. They controlled the paint, but they also controlled the perimeter, shooting 45% overall, 37% from behind the arc. And it starts with the veterans, who made it clear that this was just not going to be a game that the Rockets were going to lose. This would have been a third straight. They would have dropped them to what? 1-3 without James Harden would have been the eighth loss in 10 games. This would have been a bad loss for the Rockets against a team they should beat, and kudos to those veterans. They made it clear that they were not going to let that happen. Now, I wanted to start with the guards in my analysis, because certainly those are your biggest names, and Chris and Eric, they tied for the most points at 24, drilled right behind them at 22, and they took over at key stretches of the game. Actually, I thought the most important stretch was the very end of the third quarter. I didn't even mention this in my lead-off segment, but the Rockets were only up 5 with about 35 seconds left in the third quarter. Then Gerald Green hit a 3. It was at the perfect time, 33 seconds, so it was ideal 2-for-1 territory, not too early, but also not too late. The Bulls couldn't really get a 2-for-1 on their end, but it wasn't late enough to where the Rockets couldn't get another possession themselves. Gerald hit the 3 at the perfect time. Rockets got the stop. Then Chris Paul hit a 3. That was kind of a key inflection point. The Rockets went up 11, and they were never really challenged down the stretch in the fourth quarter. So, yes, the guards, they set the tone. Those are your headliners, and you always start with those guys, especially when they both put up 24-9, shooting over 45% from the field. But that wasn't just about the guards. The Rockets controlled the interior as well. They out-rebounded the Bulls, who actually have a decent-sized team. Robin Lopez is not a bad center. Robin Lopez is someone who entered tonight averaging 13-5, a player efficiency rating of 15.4, averaging 29 minutes a night. He's a serviceable big, and in the past, he's the kind of physical big, 7 foot, 280 pounds, that gives Clint Capela a lot of problems. Well, tonight, not at all. The Rockets controlled the interior, 51 rebounds to 37, but more impressively, one-on-one, Clint Capela, 15 points, 16 rebounds in 34 minutes, shot 5 of 7 from the field, also had a couple of blocks. Robin Lopez only played 15 minutes, had 2 points, 1 rebound, 0 of 4 from the field, was a minus 14 in his 15 minutes, and didn't even play more than that because the Bulls were so obviously overmatched that they had no choice but to go small, and to their credit, they did get some traction, especially in the second quarter of that game, I think from the sudden style contrast, but the Rockets, thankfully, late in the third quarter and for most of the fourth, were able to tighten the screws. We'll talk about how they did that. It starts with defense in the forward spots, and I thought you saw P.J. Tucker being a little bit more influential. His best game, he perked up. We'll talk about that in the final segment. But for now, I want to give Clint his due, because, folks, going up against Robin Lopez, I don't want to say it's a tough matchup, but it's the kind of traditional big that in the past has given him some problems. Is Clint tough enough? Boy, in tonight's game again, 16 rebounds to 1, 15 points to 2, and Robin only played 15 minutes. It was a minus 14. He was literally unplayable. That's how dominant that Clint Capela was in this game, and he was the biggest factor. You know, you look at the 51 to 37 rebound advantage. Well, it was pretty much all the same except for the two centers, 16 to 1. This was proof of Clint Capela's evolution. Even this time a year ago, I don't think that he necessarily holds up as well as he did tonight in this particular matchup. And again, it's not saying that Robin Lopez is a world beater by any stretch. What I'm talking about is he is a style that historically has given Clint some problems, but Clint, he doesn't always get his due, but he has gone to work. He has found a way to keep the athleticism while gaining more strength. And is he perfect? No. There are some lowlights. He still needs to get better. But by and large, this season, yes, on the balance of the 2017-2018 calendar, he's been an enormous part of the Rockets getting off to this 28-11 start, which is still second best in the West. And now, after the Spurs loss to in Portland last night, has the Rockets back with a 3-game cushion in the loss column for the West number 2 seed. Clint Capela, given the injuries to Chris Paul, Clint has been massive. And defensively, he is an enormous part based on his flexibility. It was key. The one traction, the run stretch where the Bulls got some traction was early in the second quarter of that game when Clint was out. We've seen that happen a lot this year where the Rockets just don't have that level of physicality. Tarik Black, now to his credit, Tarik has played better in the past week as a backup center. Nene, partially with the injury, bumped knees in Orlando, partially. He's 35 years old, and he would have sat out the second half of the back-to-back anyway, and some of the smaller lineups were advantageous to Tarik Black. In the past week, he's been okay. Tonight, not so much. 1 point, one rebound in his 11 minutes, and the deficiency was with the size. You know, certainly he's still physical, he's still capable defensively, but he just doesn't have that length that Capella does. For Clint to have the combination of athleticism, length, IQ, he's long enough to compete against the likes of athletes that the Bulls can throw at him, whether they go big or they go small. And, he finishes in traffic so well. He only shot 7 times but made 5 of them, and it just feels like when you get it to him on the inside, there were a couple of moves that were just so adept in terms of his footwork, finishing with the left hand. He works his butt off. Is he perfect? No, of course not. But he's come a tremendously long way, and I think this game tonight against Robin Lopez, in which the Rockets, you know, as much credit as they get for the guards, and deservedly so, the Rockets controlled this game on the interior as well, and to me, it was kind of an ideal referendum on the growth that Clint Capella's had. He even had 3 assists to go with those 15 and 16 in the middle as well. He's gotten kind of, I would say, subtle under the radar. It's not like he has any lofty totals, but he's gotten to be a decent passer out of that pick-and-roll game as well, finding guys, especially in the corners. You'll see him do that from time to time. So I thought, I don't want to say it was a get-right game for Clint, because he's largely been there all along, but this was a good reminder game of just how valuable Clint is, just how far he's come. And then when you look at the box score as a whole and you see that rebounding discrepancy, it reminds you that, yes, even though you see the lofty backcourt totals, it wasn't just that the Rockets had those big names in the backcourt. Yeah, they've got a true all-star-level player at the center position as well, and that's why even without James Harden, the Rockets are able to really control a game like this, even on the road, and even with the Bulls shooting relatively well. I mean, give them some credit. The Bulls shot over 46% from the field at 43% from behind the arc. I don't think all of that was poor defense. The Bulls had a good game shooting, and despite that, the Rockets were in complete control of this, again, up 19 points with under 2 minutes to go, and the guards are going to get a lot of the headlines, but Clint deserves a lot of his due as well. Final part of our 3 points recap of this 116-107 Rockets victory in Chicago over the Bulls. On paper, it was not a great game for Ryan Anderson and PJ Tucker. They're kind of, the whipping boys on Rockets Twitter, and I get it. I spelled out their numbers in our Sunday show recapping the Detroit game. They're ugly. Since December 9th, they're a combined 33% from the field. Again, these are power forwards. And 25% from three. Ryan, in particular, signed because he's supposed to be an elite three-point shooter. So, over the past 15 games, they've been inexplicably poor. But Monday, even though the overall numbers weren't that great, combined 4 of 11 from the field and 3 of 9 from 3, although again, 4 of 11 from the field, 3 of 9 from 3, that's a hell of a lot better than they've been over the past month. But you could see when it felt like the dam was starting to break. With Ryan, you could literally see it. He hit his 1-3 late in the game. He was open and you could see him literally mouth to the bench. Oh my God, I got one! I got one! And of course, he's being a little sarcastic. I'm sure he's as frustrated as anyone. But sometimes these get-right games are very good because they allow you to build confidence. Sometimes it's tough to do that if you're in a game that's so tight where there's always this pressure. And I don't want to say the Rockets feel like they're throwing away a possession if it ends in a Ryan Anderson or PJ Tucker 3, but there's naturally a little bit of skepticism. I think generally if this were a closer game with the way things have gone over the past month, you might see, and it's not just the Rockets being reluctant to pass it to them, you might see those guys being a little bit reluctant to shoot. There were a couple times in the first half of this game that PJ turned down wide open threes, and that's a little bit discouraging because in this offense, for it to work as it's designed to, you cannot turn down the wide open threes. That's essential, even if you miss it, just for the spacing, to take those shots, to make defenses respect that area of the floor. Well, when you get a lead the way the Rockets did and you start having fun, it's easier to experiment, it's easier to play loose, and when the Rockets started playing loose, they made more of those shots. Ryan made one. PJ actually made 2. P.J. Tucker was 2 of 5 from three, and it's the first time he's made more than 1 3 in a game since December 20th against the Lakers. That's so long ago, that's 10 games ago. When P.J. went in that game against the Lakers and made 2 threes, that was when the Rockets were on a 14-game winning streak and won 20 of 21. I think you guys realize how long ago that feels if you're a regular listener on the show and you've watched the team over the past 10 games since then. So I'm not going to say that 4 of 11 from the field and 3 of 9 from 3 is great, but for those two, it's progress. And I think especially with Ryan, you could see him smiling, having a little bit of fun. I think that's the key. And of course, that's where all of this ties together. If you come out and you play more consistently, you play from in front, it's easier to play loose. And I think when you have two guys that are in a prolonged slump, the way Ryan and PJ are, playing loose is the key. You can't just sit there thinking about it. You can't just dwell on it, because of course it will get in your head. It's been a long time since either of those guys has shot the basketball well. And as much as all of us can say, well, it's math, eventually it's going to turn around, when you're actually on the ground and in a slump like that, it's not that simple. What you need to do is play without thinking. Just go out and play like you normally would. That's when math will kick in. When you play freely, yes, eventually those shots are going to go down. When you play overly thinking, overly cautious, overly scared, whatever you want to call it, then yes, those are the extenuating circumstances that can cause a prolonged slump that should not be representative of their normal level of shooting or production, whatever it may be. So again, these are little things. I don't want to say they've busted out yet, shooting 4 of 11 from the field and 3 of 9 from 3, although it's certainly better. But I just thought both of those guys, you saw PJ taking more threes in the second half, again, 2 of 5, 40%. That's okay. That's pretty good. And then Ryan making his one, actually smiling, laughing, having some fun with it. Those are positive steps. The dam is not broken yet. The slump is not over. But I think that this was at least a step in the right direction. Now, hopefully you can continue that, because the next three games, even without James Harden, Portland, and we'll see what the status of Damian Lillard is, the Phoenix Suns, the LA Clippers, this is not murderer's row. This is not a particularly difficult stretch for the Rockets. Now, we'll get that way in a week when you play Minnesota and Golden State for two consecutive games. But for the next week, no, this is not all that daunting. And so it's a stretch. If you go out there disciplined, and especially if, you know, you have Clint Capella, another under-the-radar thing. We talked about Chris Paul bouncing back from his injury. Well, Clint Capella was able to play 34 minutes tonight and did not seem to fatigue at all. Props to him for that. But if those guys are healthy and you've got Gerald Green doing what he does, then even without James Harden, there are enough proven veterans, there are enough stars on this team that, folks, you can, against lesser teams in the NBA, still play from in front. And I think what we saw tonight was if you play from in front, then you can get those guys a little looser, thinking a little less, and just in general, having more fun, because we all have more fun when they win. And I think, you know, it's a baby step. I don't know if it's reasonable to expect it to all happen at once, but at least for one night, I think Ryan Anderson and PJ Tucker get on that field, as I recorded this podcast, I'm watching the college football national championship game between Alabama and Georgia. But when they get on that bus to go to the airport tonight and fly back home, Rockets play the Blazers on Wednesday at Toyota Center, I think they'll be feeling a little bit better about themselves. Certainly because the Rockets won the game, but also I think individually you saw a few things go right. The slump isn't over, but at least for two guys that, again, getting paid $112 million in guaranteed money over the life of their 3- and 4-year contracts, well, PJ is kind of a 4-year deal. It depends on how you look at that last year, which is partially guaranteed. But bottom line is, yeah, you're paying them a lot of money. They're your top two options at the 4 spot. You depend on them a lot. They've been unacceptably bad for the past month. They're not out of it yet. I'm not, popping champagne. I'm not popping the cork at this point. But at the same time, it's, you know, the best they've looked and felt in a little while. So I think if you're a Rockets fan, you feel good. And as they get on that plane tonight to head back to Houston, for the first time in a while, I think besides just the team winning, I think they can find at least some small positives in how they played. So on that positive note, I will wrap up this post-game episode of Locked On Rockets. As we said leading off, the Rockets 116-107 winners in Chicago, and it wasn't even that close. The Rockets were up 116-97 with under 2 minutes left. Bulls went on a largely inconsequential 10-0 run to end the game and make that final score seem a little artificially close. The Rockets, they got off to a 34-13 lead. Bulls, to their credit, they fought back, actually took a 66-63 lead midway through the third. But the Rockets, they put the hammer down to finish this game, and again had a 116-97 lead with under 2 minutes to go. And for the Rockets, it certainly it evens that two-game road trip at one game apiece. And more importantly, it's their third win in the past five games coming off that five-game losing streak. So you do see some stabilization. It's the second win in four games without James Harden, third and five overall. Not going to say they're all the way back, but there are at least signs of stabilizing to where you're not going on the court and expecting the other shoe to drop like I think you were towards the end of that five-game losing streak. Still a long way to go, probably still another week without Luke Bamute, and your defense is not going to be humming all the way until he gets back. And, of course, still another couple of weeks at a minimum, I think, until you get James Harden back. And certainly, you're not going to be the team you were without the league's MVP frontrunner. But for the first time in a while, I think you at least feel pretty comfortable that this team, they're starting to have fun again. And the level of play is definitely, at a bare minimum, I would say stabilizing, if not starting to trend upward a little bit. When you factor in not just three wins in the past five games, but of those three wins, two of them at Orlando, at Chicago, on the road, were by very convincing margins. And are those against great teams? No, they're not. But it's not like the teams they were losing to the Lakers and the Clippers, almost lost to the Lakers on New Year's Eve. It's not like those were great teams either, and yet the Rockets were still either losing or barely taking a miracle to beat them with all three of those games at home. So yes, it's against lesser opponents, but in general, the Rockets are starting to play better, and especially without James Harden, without Luke Bamute, as far as I'm concerned, be happy about it. Think bigger picture. Rockets are 28-11. They're number two seed in the West, three-game edge in the loss column over the Spurs, 28-11 on the season. And even without James Harden, they've still won two of their past four games. So bigger picture, when you look at the injuries, take a macro-level view of this, I think you should still be a pretty happy Rockets fan if someone had told you this result 39 games ago. 39 games ago. God, I'm watching football and struggling to do math. But yeah, 28-11, that means you're 39 games in, just two games away from the midway point of this 82-game slate. Anyway, I'm clearly distracted at this point. I just turned back on the football game. Georgia's leading 27. So I will wrap up and get back to watching the game. Hopefully you guys can as well, although I'm sure some of you guys will be listening on Tuesday and Wednesday as well. That's the beauty of podcast. You can tune in whenever you want. So if you're not already subscribed to us, which means you can listen at your convenience and you know when they come out, that's my cue to remind you to do that. So iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, TuneIn, pretty much any podcast network, just search for Locked On Rockets. You can also search for Locked On Texans, Locked On, well, any show across the NBA or the NFL, and there's lots of great coverage. But subscribe to us. That's how you'll know when any of our daily episodes come out, not just each day, but also what time of each day, because, of course, we have post-game shows, but we have shows on many of the off days as well. Besides listening to me on podcasts, if you want to hear even more from me, the simplest way to do that is on Twitter. I'm at Ben Dubose. The show is at Locked On Rockets. And, of course, you can also email us with further questions, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, or advertising inquiries. Also, don't forget our new website, lockedonrockets.com, or our new Facebook, facebook.com/lockedonrockets. Lots of new ventures across our Locked On Rockets community over the past few weeks. And I strongly encourage you to like us on Facebook if you have not already, because that's the best way that we're going to be able to interact with you directly, doing some Facebook Live, some Q&As, that kind of stuff in the weeks ahead. The Rockets have not had that many home games lately, but stay tuned. When they're back at Toyota Center, that's going to be the easiest way to interact one-on-one. So I strongly encourage you to like us on Facebook if you have not already. So with all that said, I will wrap up the plugs. I'm sure you guys are tired of them by now. So I will get some rest, enjoy the rest of the football game, and hopefully you guys can do the same with whatever your hobbies are if you're not the college football diehard that I am. Once again, as far as what I think our common interest is, Rockets, very successful night on Monday, 116-107 winners over the Bulls in Chicago. Both Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, 24 points and 9 assists apiece. Was trying to do some averages in my head. But yeah, each 24 and 9. So fabulous night for the Rockets guards. And then Clint Capella on the interior, 15 points and 16 rebounds compared to just 2-1 for his counterpart, Robin Lopez. The Rockets out-rebounded the Bulls 51-37. So just a very get-right night for the Rockets, who again now 28-11 and have won for the third time in their past five games, coming off of that five-game losing streak. So until Wednesday, when the Rockets are back home in Houston against the Blazers, I will sign off. Again, thanks as always to you guys for listening. Final time, this is Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on your Houston Rockets. Monday evening, Rockets 116, Bulls 107, that's the final. Rockets now 28-11 on the year. And folks, hopefully that can tide you over for a couple of days, and I'll be talking with you again on Wednesday as the Rockets get ready to take on the Portland Trail Blazers on Wednesday night here at the friendly confines of Toyota Center in Houston. For now, have a good night.